Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the...
So, we got bored during quarantine and we started a podcast.
Podcast brought to you by Dinocorn TV. Our broadcasting channel. If you are new here, then you will not know, presumably, that we are two entertainers currently out of work and we talk about all things arty, entertainy, that kind of thing. And also we go off topic quite a lot. But we use the help of a random word generator, which is Sarah with the thesaurus, to pick a word that will inspire us to talk about something useful. So, Hamesy, when you're ready, take it away.
All right, I'm just going to hit play on this song. Random, random, random word generator.
Totally added in post-production. Stop. We're always in the same area. Stop.
Further.
Go on.
Like in addition, moreover, besides, furthermore.
Oh, also. You know what we could talk about? Brilliant idea already. Which TV shows were cancelled too early?
Oh.
There's been a few. Or movie franchises. For example, there's no ending to, is it Insurgent or Allegiant?
Divergent?
Oh, no, well, Divergent, yeah. Is there.
The last one...
Allegiant, is it? No, Divergent. The Insurgent. Which one? That series. The Divergent series. They have all three books in there, except the last movie is missing. So it's part one of one of those books, which is irritating.
You mean part two of the third book?
Well, no, part one exists. Part two doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we've agreed on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, they did the first part. I guess they were hoping to be able to do what they did with the Hunger Games. They're like, yes, we're going to stretch it out as much as we can. Except nobody's interested.
I think they didn't do a very good job at translating it from book to screen.
You know what's the worst part? Is that the ending is what makes it more interesting. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. If you really want to know what the ending is of the Divergent series, but you don't want to hear it from Sarah, turn off now. Or jump... I don't know to what point. Just turn off. Anyway, go on, spoiler.
Is that they kill the main character.
Which is quite a plot twist.
Yeah, which is something that you don't usually see in, like, because I want to call this like a young adult kind of series.
It is
series,
definitely.
Right?
It's a whiny teenage girl.
I was like really quite impressed. I was like, wow, the author had the bravery of killing off her character. Maybe she just got fed up with her. I was like, you know what I'm going to enjoy doing?
Killing her. That's what you would do as an author.
I might, yeah.
I could see you doing that.
Because you start, I can imagine, you must start having relationships with these characters. Because you're thinking about where they come from, their origins, the environment they're in, like all the side stories that you know, never even make it into the book, but the author knows them. And you're like living, breathing this, and then if you start developing this character, and then you're like, you have to stay consistent, and you start realizing as you keep stay consistent in your character. Your character is a piece of shit.
Right. Okay. I mean that escalated quickly.
I mean, no, I'm not saying that the main character of Divergent was a piece of shit, but she wasn't very exciting. Let's put it that way. So yeah, the most exciting thing that happened to her was dying. Oh, wow, that was morbid. Okay, well, that's it for the spoiler alert. I'm done venting.
Great. But it's a bit, I mean, yeah.
So what other series? I'm trying to think now because...
There's a bunch of them. I remember we watched and we were like, oh, there's only one season. That's so annoying. I'm trying to think of what they were.
I would say The Witcher, but I have a feeling that they're going to keep
doing
them.
No, that's got another one.
They're probably going to keep doing it. But because, you know, we consume content and then never remember anything... I can't remember things.
I'm trying to think of what there was definitely some. What was there?
Oh, The Golden Compass.
I've not seen that. So.
By I forget his first name, Pullman.
Philip.
And he, you know, my buddy Philip, who I forget his name. Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass is a trilogy, I think. Or I'm not sure if there's also more books in the same world. I really liked it. They had quite a big cast because Nicole Kidman was in it. Daniel Craig. I'm trying to think of those other ones. And I started reading the book, but then They were borrowed. I had to return them, and I couldn't finish the series. But I really enjoyed them, and there was like all these characters in these worlds, and it was well done. And then,
but there was the film well done. Then
the film world, I thought was very beautiful
because they're redoing it.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, there's a series. I think.
Try number two.
There's a TV series coming. What's the other one that's been put on TV series? Oh, Percy Jackson, of course. Definitely probably the biggest flop. Like, if you think about like hype for something versus execution, I feel like Eragon the Percy Jackson series are two of those that just did not.
They should have done well, and then you're like, how did you mess this up? It's like, how?
I mean, the Eragon one was because I haven't even seen it, but I know from the trailer they did a terrible job.
I feel like just from the casting choice was like, oh, what? I remember just not. I mean, Jeremy Irons is a good actor, but I wasn't convinced as
Galbatorix.
Him.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't Galbatorix.
Who was he?
He was the trainer. Brom. Brom, yeah.
He was Brom, okay.
Yeah, no, Galbatorix is actually John Malkovich.
Oh, that is quite fun.
I was like, oh, interesting. But I feel like John Malkovich could probably play anybody.
He plays John Malkovich. I mean, what can you say? Yeah, I think that's the thing is they... Eragon's another one that would make a great series.
Probably a better series
because
than a movie.
I think that's where you have the difference of movie versus series is when there is quite a lot of different little stories that kind of intertwine, that I think series almost always wins.
Yeah.
Because you want those intricate kind of like moments. Whereas a movie, you kind of have to shrink it down to fit in a certain period.
I also find that when the worlds are very well fleshed out, in the sense like you understand that there's maybe like groups of people that don't get along, whether it's because of economic reasons or cultural or whatever, but you have to start understanding all the different cultures and what makes them different, and this takes time to learn.
Yeah, definitely.
And recently we watched Shadow and Bone, which is binge watched it night.
Properly binge watched it.
And that's something that I really enjoyed, was that they got a chance to flesh out these worlds and these cultures and kind of how these political tensions that were happening. And you in a movie, you have to show this really quickly. And as an observer or an audience member who doesn't know anything about the world, can very easily oversee these details.
Yeah, because you have a thing with the books, which is that it's... You learn about the fleshing out of these worlds at the same time. Like, the world opens to you. And there's, for some reason, I don't know how words do it, really. If you think about it, they kind of...
Well, because you have... Lots of the times, you have descriptions of... Either you have little mini side stories that kind of set the tone. Or thoughts from the characters... you know, they tell you how they're feeling uncomfortable. And in a movie, you're going to have to interpret it from the actor's face. And maybe they didn't have time to showcase, like, maybe you interpreted it wrong, you know?
That's true.
Or you see it, but you don't realize that this discomfort is not because just this moment, but it's actually this whole culture and social problem that's happening, right?
That's true. I think that's kind of, that's where, yes, I think... Series and movies both have their own benefits. One thing I like about series is that if you're really into, I guess, stories with kind of all intertwined and you're looking for fan theories and big worlds and fleshed out, like well-fleshed out worlds and interesting characters over longer
complex
periods of
relationships.
Time. Complex relationships. And that's where you have like a lot of benefit from series. But and there's been a lot of series that have been cancelled probably for good reason. There's been a lot of series that have been cancelled not for good reason. Mindhunter.
Oh, gosh.
Glow.
Yeah. Glow was cancelled?
Glow was cancelled, like, very controversially. Because it did fantastically well. Another one, my personal upset. What's the name of it? I forgot the name already. One Day at a Time. Cancelled as well. So, all of them, highly popular. But Netflix has this thing where it's like 3 seasons is what you should get. It very rarely, it has started now with some bigger ones to have more of them. But it's like, it's kind of like, we need to pump out super popular things, like a lot. But then instead of like relying on things that have been doing well for a long time, it's like, no, new, hype. I mean, hype is a winner, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all cancelled. I mean, Mindhunter is probably the most frustrating one because it ended on such a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And we will never know now.
Oh, that's...
Bottoms. Oh, no. There are loads of other ones. I know there's something we watched that we... There was only one series and we were like, what? Only one? It got cancelled? I'm even going to Google this now as we talk.
I watched Anne of Green Gables and that's also only one season.
That was... Yeah, okay.
And that was really nice. Very feel good. Very beautifully filmed. And only one season. I was quite surprised. Even though I think it's a bunch of books.
Yeah, I think that was one of the ones that's also like kind of... You're like, oh... You're like, okay, well, that's a bit rude.
Yeah, they're good. Why would you stop? But
what do we
It's really
know,
hard to understand how they make these decisions.
I don't know.
I can imagine Netflix must be like on a huge... I mean, they've produced so much content. They must have put so much money. Like, I can't imagine them being solvent at this moment. Like, I don't think they're in green.
No, I'm not convinced. I mean, because the sheer budget of some of their programs is insane.
So it must be like a long game. It's like, okay, at certain point, so. Things will start paying off. But I can't imagine the pressure they must be on. It's like, nope, they have to completely rely on hype.
And in the last year, we've also had obviously the appearance of Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Which, by some miracle, hasn't completely obliterated the streaming market.
Yeah.
But it runs the risk that it could do.
I think. Once they start pumping out lots of new content, because I thought the opening of Disney Plus was very interesting. I think it showed how hungry we are for new content all the time. That even though we are nostalgic and we will rewatch stuff, we won't pay for the streaming.
No, well, I was disappointed with Disney Plus when it launched. You know, the thing was, it hyped itself up to be such a big deal, and it launches, and yes, it was a soft launch, but you're kind of like, these are all things that I've already seen.
Yeah.
There's nothing new. Or the things that are new are, you know, not things you go to Disney for. Documentaries. Like a documentary, like very old documentaries about, you know, parts of Disney and how they're doing it. The odd cartoon. No films, no nothing. But, you know, there's the stuff they're starting to produce now is, I mean, beyond compare. Budget, look, everything. I mean... Yeah, it is hard to think, you know. Well, there's two things here. First off, when Disney did their big, like, official launch where they showcased everything they were going to be producing in the next, like, year or 2 years.
Yeah.
I think the big takeaway was, Disney, that's nice, but there's nothing new.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they got a lot of backlash with the fact that you've got 10 new Star Wars programs coming. Like, that's nice, but where's the new stories?
Where's the innovation?
Another 10 Marvel Universe stories, most of them based off of already done things in Marvel.
Okay.
Oh, let's have a new Disney story. Oh no, let's have a live action remake.
But even if we're we're not impressed with it now, I feel like once they start coming out, people are gonna get hooked on it. They will.
Yeah,
still
I think so. I they will, but I don't think. I think that's where Disney's tripped up. Is that I think people will be interested, but I don't think it will necessarily guarantee them Disney Plus subscribers compared to Netflix. I think that's the one thing that Netflix has been able to do is to keep innovating and keep having new programs and new things to watch.
Yeah, because they do have diversity. I mean, if you think about it, you go from Bridgerton to Witcher, The Witcher and Shadow and Bone, and then all the reality TV stuff that's come out. It is quite diverse.
But, I mean, Disney Plus has the win in the sense of, you know, I'm a huge Marvel fan. Of course I want to watch Loki. I want to watch the new Marvel programs. But I'm also a little disappointed that there isn't a bit more, I guess, new characters.
There's no innovation in stories and characters.
Yeah,
basically.
You're like, okay, well, you know, I mean, the Loki one is fun because it's also from the perspective of kind of a villain. But WandaVision and, you know, WandaVision are like, yeah, I'm kind of curious as well, but also probably not. You know, Winter Soldier and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, nah, okay. They're not things that make me go, yeah, I definitely want to watch that. You know, the certain, like, kind of, I guess, for lack of a better term, like, kind of B characters, you know,
yeah.
Side characters of main stories. You have to really pick your side characters if you want to go for it. you know, there are certain side characters that you, I mean, the one I think they've nailed is, I 100% want to watch Cruella.
Oh.
I mean, the idea of them going, you know, in essence, picking the villain and going, we're going to tell her a backstory. Nothing new there. But it is a fun, I mean, it is a fun for Disney to basically go dark, which is what DC has been doing.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think Disney has been doing a bit of dark, because Maleficent was also another.
That's true, yeah.
Origin,
but it's not really dark. I feel like Cruella's dark. Like,
well, she's like a sociopath.
Maleficent wasn't
she?
That bad in the end.
No, she turned bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of the story. It's like, oh, she became. There's a legitimate reason or some logic behind it.
I feel like Cruella's just nuts.
I think
nuts.
Cruella's just a proper sociopath.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
It's like Mindhunter meets Disney.
That's the one live action remake that you're like, well, it's not actually a live action remake.
No, it's
that's
original.
Where you have a different, it's a story of a story of a character that exists already, but it is a new story. But you know, like all the live action remakes of the Disney movies, especially because I guess Disney is so iconic, classic with its, you know, its animated films. It's like, do you really want to see them again? I watched the live action remake of The Lion King. I didn't dislike it. But I was hardly memorable.
Yeah, no, but it's just the live action. You're catering to a different crowd. You're catering to the nostalgia of adults. Because I feel like what makes The Lion King memorable for us, the cartoon version, is that also we were children.
Yes.
And can Disney recreate that for adults? You know,
I don't know. Yeah.
Recreate that. Oh my gosh, that thing was so memorable. I mean, maybe
I would really love to see Disney put some time into their writers and start seeing some new stories, because the only thing they have currently that does them well is Pixar, which continues to produce new stories. And we know from various documentaries that Pixar has always been a little bit quashed by Disney. I would like to see some new stories. I mean, we know also how successful they can be. Frozen, hello.
Yeah.
Coco.
Yeah.
Huge stories.
Really like that.
You know, completely new stories, completely new approach to things.
Brave.
I mean, they can do it. I think it's just that they're under pressure. And they've even, I mean, they have, I think it's quite clear from what they're doing is they're relying on things they know work. So they can pay off the huge debt of starting Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But it is disappointing. Because I think, I wonder if it will backfire on them. If people will just be like, well, you know, that's nice and all, but it's not my favorite. Like, really, for now, I would go to Disney Plus for Loki and Cruella.
Maybe it's like a long game where they're, well, we just have to basically survive Netflix, like outlived Netflix. Like, will Netflix be able to keep pumping out so much hype content?
Yeah. Do you think it'll come down to one of them survives, or do you think they'll both be able to live in harmony?
I think they will. I think there will always be multiple streaming companies.
I hope so.
Whether it will still be Netflix as Netflix or a fusion or a, you know, a changing, but the rate that Netflix produces, the diversity that it produces, like, can it keep that up?
I don't know. It's got to be hard.
This is our speculation on entertainment, online entertainment. I mean, and then there's the whole other, like, I'm gonna call it the indie crowd of creators, content creators on YouTube, on Twitch.
That's an interesting, I think they're really interesting platforms. I would say this because we're kind of involved with them, but the idea that there could be bigger productions in the sense of not bigger in money or in time or in effort or whatever, but bigger in the sense of more thought through concepts that make it onto YouTube and Twitch, I think it could be really interesting. Like you said, I mean, for example, the one that comes to mind is The First We Feast, The Hot Ones.
Yeah.
Genius concept.
Very simple, elegant, and very well executed.
Extremely well executed. Super simple, but like a brilliant concept that you watch that as a TV show.
Yeah.
That is equivalent in for me to a TV show, to watching 20 minutes of one of the Netflix programs, one of the sitcoms, for example.
Yeah.
And it would be really quite exciting to see what could happen if more event organizers, yeah, concept creators, production companies took it to YouTube and were able to create some of these maybe bigger hits. Now, obviously, they have a harder route in the sense of they don't have support and they have to find a way of getting their stuff out there. But it is quite an exciting premise.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like these... It's almost like entertainment growing from grassroots, because basically it's you're straightly you're directly connected,
wow,
with your audience.
What words?
Obviously, and the more there are, the more flooded the market is, and then it becomes harder. But I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll give freedom for novel concepts to arise, and hopefully we'll see it not just like in TV shows, but also in animation and movie format, and who knows, maybe a new format we don't know about yet.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. I'm curious to see if we have more. I'm trying to think of which things, you know, do have that kind of like TV vibe, TV concept to them.
That you'll just enjoy watching it just for...
Maybe it's not there yet. I think it's on the rise, though.
Because, I mean, you do see, like, for example, Vogue and, like, these magazines.
Oh, like the Architecture's Digest one, where,
yeah,
they go around the houses and stuff. That as well, I could see that as being a kind of a TV style program.
Yeah, it is. Or the ones with like 100 questions, and they do the,
yeah,
100 questions.
Yeah, yeah, no, there are things.
There are, and they're kind of novel, they're kind of informal.
And they are the length usually of like a sitcom show. It's usually like 20 minutes. Which is the same as a sitcom,
yeah,
a sitcom episode.
So there are new concepts or formats kind of coming out from this new platform, I guess, the online platform.
It'll be interesting to see where that goes in the future, in any case. That being said, we have, of course, discussed in detail the topic of... What was it?
Further.
The topic of further. I mean, we kind of have.
What's beyond the current formats of entertainment? What,
yes,
will come in the future?
Exactly. I think we've done that. I think we've achieved today's aim. If you'd like to follow us, you most certainly can. How can they follow us?
You can go on Instagram at dinocore_TV. You can also drop us an email at boredomandquarantinepodcast@gmail.com. And of course, as you know, because you're listening to us now, you can always find us on Anchor FM and all the other
podcasting platform things.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back once again next week. We have been the...
So we got bored during quarantine and we started a podcast.
Until soon.
Bye-bye.